Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Beer Coasters podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. Hello, everybody, again. I am your host this week. My name is Toby. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada. And joining me, as always, is...
This is Chris from Dallas, Texas.
I am Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
Wow, Chris, living in Texas so long, you're talking a lot slower. Okay, anyway, in today's show, we got a special show for you, folks. This is a special one. We're doing the Sam Adams Long Shot series from 2008, the winners from the Long Shot competition. We're focusing on them for the entire show, or as far as our fermentation conversation goes and our tasting flight. Anyway, a quick rundown of the Long Shot. If you haven't heard of it, it's Sam Adams. A few years ago, started doing this competition for homebrewers to come up with a great recipe, send in four bottles of their style of beer, and then whoever wins, Sam Adams will start brewing it. 2006, they had three were in the top running that you could find in. You could buy them in a six pack, and you'll have all three in there, two bottles of each. The Boysenberry Wheat, the Long Shot Dortmunder style export, and the Long Shot Old Ale were from the 2006 six pack. The Boysenberry was created by Ken Smith, and he was the actual winner, right? Like, if they out of the three, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong. Out of the three, they pick one finalist or one actual winner, or are all three just straight across the board winners?
No, I think like that first one, Don Oliver of California and Bruce Stott of Massachusetts won. I don't think they picked like an overall winner that year, but those were the what were they again?
How about the important stuff, like sorry, the winners that we're going to try this week?
Well, in 2007, they had the Weizenbach and the Grape Ale.
The thing about 2007 was the winner of 2000, they actually picked one winner in 2007, and that was Mike McDowell of California, and he won with the double IPA, which is in this year's six-pack. So the way that the Long Shot works is they have the homebrew competition, they announce the winners at GABF every year, and then the following year they release those recipes in a special Long Shot series six-pack. So every year they pick three. The thing about 2007 was, even though Mike McDowell won for his double IPA, because he used, what did he use, Mike, eight different hops?
It was a lot. It just,
seven.
It's like,
okay, seven different
ridiculous
varieties
amount
of hops.
And in variety as well as amount.
Yeah. So, so Sam Adams weren't able to get all of the varieties of hops in order to brew on that scale. So they put his releasing of that one off for a year.
Yeah.
So they went into brewing it this year instead of last year. So the 2007 winners would have come out in 2008 as the six-pack. The 2008 winners are coming out this year. And Toby, you want to say what the other ones are for this year besides Mike Dole's double IPA?
We've got the Cranberry Wit, which was... Carissa Swigart, who's actually she works for Sam Adams. She's actually an employee there. And the traditional Bock. I can't remember the guy who did that.
That's Alex Drobshoff. He was actually, that was the winner. The Long Shot traditional Bock was the winner last year.
And they've already closed the entries. They do it in May, I think.
Yeah.
So you have, like, between April something and May something, you have, you know, you have to put your entries in. This year they yielded over 1,500 entries from just under 1,000 homebrewers, which is pretty cool that there's that many people out there that are going for this. It's pretty sweet. Yeah.
So if you want to look at if you go to samadams.com/promotions/longshot, you can find the winners there. And right now they have the finalists listed for 2009, and then they'll announce the winners at GABF for next year's series.
Nice. Cool.
Sweet.
And also in today's show, since we're kind of combining the fermentation conversation with the tasting flight, we're going to kind of jump right after this. We're going to jump into hop topics and then hit up the tasting flight and do our tweet of the week, go into some backwash, hit up last call, and we're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So I want to ask you guys real quick, how was your 4th of July?
I had a good time. I had a big bonfire in my hometown that we went down to watch, and the fireworks got canceled the night before. That was a little disappointing, but all in all, it was a good 4th of July.
Was it because of rain?
Yeah, we've been having a lot of rain up here, and those of you that are from this area know that we've had quite a bit of rain the past couple of weeks. How about you, Chris?
Yeah, I had a
great
4th of July because I spent the whole night in the emergency room with my daughter. So, yeah, that was great.
Aww.
Yeah, she'll be all right, though.
Good.
How about you, Toby?
I worked. I worked a 12-hour shift. It was cool. But we had the fireworks at the casino next door, and it was nice because I was basically standing right under them, you know, the top of the parking garage. It's pretty cool. But yeah, it was nice. Didn't get to spend it with Gina, but that's right.
Sucks.
So, all right, you guys, do you want to jump into some hot topics?
Sure.
You got anything else you want to say?
Nope.
Let's do this.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
And we're back.
Yes.
Welcome to the Hop Topics section, where we give you a little bit of beer news from each of our little areas that we like to cover. And
first up is
my man Chris. Hit me.
Alrighty. For my Hop Topic this week, I am talking about Kid Rock's American Badass Redneck Lager.
Ooh, so
this is a real story.
So, yeah, so if you guys haven't heard about this, Kid Rock is developing a beer in conjunction with Michigan Brewing and Drink America's Holding Inc. This Drink America's Holdings Inc., they're basically trying to do getting with celebrities to create these different drinks. Like, I think they're doing something with Dr. Dre also. They're doing a cognac and a sparkling vodka with Dr. Dre.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm afraid this is going to upset me. I'm already upset with Dr. Dre for doing Dr. Pepper commercials. I mean, I think that it's a sign that the world is coming to an end. When you've got
celebrities.
So sorry, Chris. No, that's okay. The Kid Rock's American Badass Redneck Beer is debuting July 17th. And they are kicking it off with a Kid Rock show in Comerica Park, where they'll be tapping the kegs there for people to drink. I think the market for this beer is kind of going for the, you know, the lager crowd, Bud, Miller, Coors.
They're going for the American Badass crowd.
Yeah.
Right. It'll be right alongside with the Harley Davidson beer.
Yeah, the article that I brought up talks about, you know, they're sort of going after the Bud Miller Coors people, and this guy says that he sees it, and I agree, as sort of a one-off purchase, like people did with the Budweiser's American Ale, which I bought.
Yeah, I was a sucker.
But,
I bought it too.
You know, most of those people that buy those kind of beers are more going for price than they are quality. And so if you have something that's more of a microbrew, it tends to be a little bit more expensive, which means it's people may buy it once just because it's Kid Rock's American Badass redneck lager and then not go back to it. So I think this is kind of a risky move for this brewery to be doing. Who knows? It may be a good lager. Yeah. I don't know that those two words go hand in hand, but hey. I guess they've invested like $7 million into this Kid Rock beer.
Wow.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
It'd be nice if they could get some celebrities that enjoyed craft beer and maybe got them kind of on the bandwagon of promoting some of the smaller craft breweries instead of doing this kind of thing where it's basically just slapping a celebrity name on as a marketing tool to sell more crap. That's right. Yeah. I said it. Crap. Right. Go ahead. Give me backwash. I dare you. Yeah. Crap. Yeah. Selling crap.
Mike is so edgy. I love
it. It's so crazy the amount of marketing. I was in a grocery store yesterday, and I was in the wine section, and they had a wine
Ed
Hardy.
No wine.
I'm not bashing wine. But they had a wine in there from Ed Hardy, who's the designer.
Oh, man, see, this is just bad.
Jeez. I just don't understand that. I don't. What does that person have to do with wine?
Nothing.
That whole faux tattoo.
Well, Ed Hardy's basically, he was an old school tattoo artist, and this guy, what is it, Christian Auger, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he basically he's basically like licensing his old, Ed Hardy's old flash tattoo art and, you know, making products out of it. It's just, I don't know how I feel about that kind of stuff. It's kind of like the whole, you know, Van Gogh on a coffee mug type, I don't know.
I just find it funny that most of the people that wear the Ed Hardy stuff don't have a single tattoo on them. Or if it is, it's a butterfly on their ankle. Anyway, let's move on.
Yes. Okay.
I actually have tattoos and
yes. I have no butterflies on my ankle, but I have have my hot topic for the week. And it's this one's
on your hand.
Yes. On the inside of my knuckles, so you can remember it.
Love, hate.
Craft beer.
Drink beer. Okay, mine's from cbsnews.com. This is...
Wait, that's too many letters. Anyway, sorry, go.
Put one on your thumb.
I have an extra thumb. What? So the title for this is Best American Craft Beers. This is from cbsnews.com. It's CBS... says Americans will buy an estimated 24 million cases of beer this holiday weekend, the biggest of the year for a $100 billion industry, according to the Beer Institute.
And just as an interesting statistic for that, about half of those are going to be bought by this podcast.
The Brewers Association,
I have so much beer,
is another industry group. They say that they're the fastest growing segment of the U.S. Market is craft beer. This article is basically their picks for the best American craft beers, and their picks are as follows. Let me know if you agree. It's Sam Adams Boston Lager, Victory Prima Pils, Sierra Nevada Killer Weiss, Fat Tire Amber Ale, and Anchor Porter. And the only one that surprises me really is Victory. The other ones where they're kind of big craft breweries, they don't surprise me as much. And there's a lot of misinformation on here too, like the six pack, like the prices of the six packs and all that type of stuff. But check out the article.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I paid $10 for a Sam Adams Boston Lager six pack.
And then they have like Fat Tire being less than a Sam Adams, and then Anchor being $11 a six. I don't know. Check it out. It's the reason why I picked this article is the fact that this whole craft beer thing is becoming mainstream, and here it is, CBS News covering it, and they have their news people trying craft beer. And I like that aspect of it. It's like it's becoming more popular, and I hope that's a good thing.
As long as it becomes popular,
changing.
Yeah, as long as it becomes popular, but the variety stays there. As long as, you know, it doesn't get overtaken by larger breweries. Yeah. You know, as long as small breweries keep popping up and it doesn't turn into, you know, a coffee shop mentality and Starbucks.
Well, that's what I don't want to see these five breweries right here be the only ones that people recognize. I want, you know, if there's 1,400 craft breweries in the country, I want to see
them
too.
Search out all 1,400 of them. Yeah.
Anyway, that's my hot topic. Absolutely. Thank you very much.
How about you, Toby?
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I'm going to talk about the second annual Brewhaha that's going on in Los Angeles on Saturday, July 25th of this year. It's from 3 to 7 p.m. It's at the Autry National Center in Griffith Park in Los Angeles, California. This is their second annual, and I believe all the proceeds go to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. And a list of the breweries would include, I know Stone is going to be there, Sam Adams, Coronado Brewing Company, Mad River, Lagunitas, The Brewery, Hebrew, Coney Choose Island, Carl beer. Strauss, BJ's, Maui Brewing Company, Pyramid, Sierra Nevada, Port, Firestone Walker, and Anheuser-Busch. And one of the people who host the sponsors, the presenting sponsors is BJ's Restaurant Brewhouse, the Philanthro Productions, and 100.3 FM, The Sound. There's also a live performance by Blackstone Heist. You can find them on MySpace. And it's hosted by comedian Bill Dwyer.
Sweet.
And if you want to get more information and get your, you can volunteer, you can get a volunteer form, check out losangeles.cff.org/brewhaha, and that's HAWHAW. So yeah, coming up July 25th.
All these topics.
Awesome.
Check it out.
All these topics are making me really thirsty.
Yes. And let's drink some beer.
And it goes to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation.
Okay, too. Who cares about that? Let's drink some beer.
Come on. Oh my god!
Just kidding.
Oh, come
it's
on.
A joke, people. Sure. Calm down.
It's a noble cause.
We all like beer, but
now yes, let's drink some beer.
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
Ooh. And welcome to my tasting flight. This is Chris from Dallas, Texas, and this week I am covering. Or we're all covering, but I'm going to talk about the Cranberry Wit in the Sam Adams Long Shot series.
We all get to taste it. This is exciting.
Yes. Yeah. So, quite exciting. As Toby explained at the outset, we're basically doing three fermentation conversations this week, but each one of us will sort of talk about the beer that we're going to try. So the one that I'm trying is the Cranberry Wit. This one was brewed by Carissa Swigart, who, as Toby explained, was a Sam Adams employee. A little bit of information about the beer. It's the style is a wit beer. And it has an ABV of 5%. Couldn't find the IBU on it, and the ingredients were a little hard to find. I couldn't find the hops that they use or the malts that they use, but I'll just read you what the label says. It says, brewed with ingredients signature to Carissa's home of Massachusetts, this cranberry wit is spiced with a blend of cinnamon, orange peel, coriander, and grains of paradise, and finished with a touch of cranberry. This bright, fruity, and refreshing brew is reminiscent of an autumn day in New England. We'll let Mike be the judge of that, since he's the one in New England.
Yeah.
The rate beer rating is a 46 out of 100. And the Beer Advocate users gave it a B, and the Alstrom Brothers gave it a B+. And as you can hear, they're ready to pop them, and let's do that.
Oops. Gurgly, gurgly.
Giggity.
And I think we're all basically, or I'm using a pint glass. Toby, what are you using to drink?
Yeah, I got a pint glass as well.
I am using a Weiss glass or a Weizen glass or a big old Pilsner glass, whatever you want to call it.
Cool. I'm pouring it out and I'm getting a lot of head.
Yeah, big time.
I have about 3 fingers with, you know, still pouring, and
I get some big bubbles too.
Yeah, it's pretty foamy, so it's kind of dissipating quick enough.
Yeah.
For me to continue to pour the rest of my beer into my glass.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, got a nice yellow color.
Very
got a little bit of an orangey tinge to it.
Kind of like a light apple cider ish.
Yeah.
Are you guys getting the wisps of sediment throughout?
I am.
Like I am?
Yes. Definitely.
Yes, I am.
Crazy.
Man, look at that head coming off that glass.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
Mine's all up over my glass.
Big old dome.
And you know, mine isn't dissipating at all. It's just kind of sitting there.
Mine, as it dissipates, the bubbles seem to get larger and larger. Like my head right now almost looks a little Swiss cheese-like. I can smell all the spices.
Spices.
Very spices.
Love me some spices.
That's a Beer Coasters podcast trademark. Thank you very much. Spices.
Spices. I'm not getting any fruit. Are you guys getting any fruit?
Right now I got overwhelming kind of
not
cinnamon.
Getting any fruit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say overwhelming. That's kind of bad. It's not overwhelming, but I can definitely smell spices. Cinnamony. It's
yeastiness, maltiness. Yeah. Hey Chris, you got some head on your beard.
Sweet. That's what it's there for, man. That's what it's there for.
Flavor saver. It's very holiday smelling. It's very holiday beer smell.
Are you thinking more of like Halloween?
No, more like more winter Christmas. Beers, you know? It's got a, because I've already had a sip, I cheated. It's very kind of winter warmery beer, you know, like an old Fezziwig, kind of reminiscent of that, where there's lots of spices and flavors, and there's orange peel.
Yeah.
But that, I love that, the cinnamony. There's other stuff, but for some reason I'm getting kind of matte, like the cinnamon's kind of taking over.
It's nice because
it
it's not
off with a bite, and then it kind of mellows out. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not very, it's not overly sweet. It's pretty subtle, so it's not, you know, this would be something you could drink a lot of.
The cranberry is very, very subtle. It's got that nice little tartness to it, but it's subtle. It's not like, you know, like their lambic or anything, which it's completely different than that.
Yeah.
I wonder if she used any kind of lagering yeast with this. I mean, I know it was just kind of has a little bit
of a little metallic-y.
Kind of lagery. A little metallic tinge to it.
I got that when I first, my first whiff of it. It kind of had that little bit of metal type smell. But it seems to be, as it's getting warmer, it seems to be going away. And I'm smelling more of the fruit. And you can kind of taste more of the fruit as it warms up. So I have had this once before. I actually bought a 6-pack of this and drank them all. And as soon as they were finished, we decided to do a show on it. So I had to buy it again.
Oh, poor you. Had to buy it
for
twice.
Me. See?
Oh, no.
The trials and tribulations of being a beer coaster.
Nice. So I like this because it's
I
not.
Like this.
I really like that it's not over syrupy. Because I was afraid before I started drinking it, you know, cranberry. Anytime you hear fruit, it's instantly, oh, great. Now I'm going to drink some sweet, fruity. And it's not. I mean, it is fruity, but it's not overly fruity. It's not overly syrupy sweet.
I think this
very
the
subtle,
cinnamon
yeah.
does a good job, I think, of cutting out the sweetness and making it spicier. You know, it's like the word cinnamon's kind of a hot spice. I think it's cutting out that sweetness and just making it a little bit tart as opposed to, like, you know, sicky sweet.
Yeah. You know, Mike, I'm sticking to my guns here, and I'm saying that this is definitely Halloween okay. for me.
You're allowed.
I think of maybe I'm going into my food pairing right now. My taste buds are popping off, and my saliva is flowing. Sorry, probably grossing a bunch of people.
It doesn't make the beer sound more appetizing.
I'm thinking maybe some pumpkin pie with whipped cream, maybe some turkey. This would actually, I'm thinking Thanksgiving dinner. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm thinking you're right.
Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah. Okay.
I agree.
Yep.
Some turkey, some cranberry sauce, because you're not getting a lot of the cranberry in there, that maybe this would complement, or some actual cranberry sauce would complement this beer. You know, cranberry and turkey and mashed potatoes and gravy. Damn it, I'm getting hungry.
Me too. I've got a brisket cooking out there, and I'm looking forward to having that.
Cool.
Yeah, turkey dinner, Thanksgiving turkey dinner sounds great with this.
Yeah, as it warms up, I'm getting some more orange. I'm getting the orange peels.
Yeah.
It's good, man.
I like it. Awesome. You guys ready to try some traditional Bock?
Let's roll into the Bock, baby. Sweet.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Okay, this time around, the three of us will be reviewing the traditional Bock by Sam Adams Long Shot series. The brewer of this particular beer, the traditional Bock, the brewer is Alex Drobshoff. He's from California. The ABV on this beer is 6.8. Rate beer, rated it 78 out of 100. Beer Advocate users rated it a B+, and the bros, the Ahlstrom brothers, rated it an A. I'm going to give a little history about the Bock as a style, this traditional Bock. The beer began its origins in the North German town of Einbeck. Man, I really should have wrote this better. As early as 1325, the beer of Einbeck enjoyed a good reputation and, for that time, widespread distribution. The original Bock was made from at least 1/3 wheat malt in addition to barley. Other sources tell us that it was top fermented and well bittered. Hmm. So, with that said, with no further ado, let's crack them open.
I also heard that I think Bock means ram or goat or something like that. So another reason why they came up with the name Bock was because when the guys would drink it, they would get crazy and go running around running into things like
smashing their heads together.
Yeah.
It's just so funny. It sounds like a normal weekend. Yeah.
That's what drinking beer is all about.
Right.
Smashing your heads together.
Yeah. Drink some beer and smash your heads together.
This beer is awesome!
Smash!
Well, this is a brown, I would say. It's got some amber highlights to it.
Yeah, a little bit of red in there.
I got almost no head.
Ooh.
You got no head? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I got you talking to us.
Okay, go ahead. Go.
I got head.
Silly Mike.
I got like a finger or so. And yeah, it's maybe very similar to the cranberry wit as far as the bubble. Like, I'm getting some larger bubbles.
Yeah, lots. I'm getting about 2 fingers of tan head. Mm. And the smell. There's something in there, man. There's something funky going on.
Yeah, it is funky. Mine's like almost like a salty funk.
Yeah, almost like
that'd
seawater.
That'd be a sweet band name, Salty Funk.
Salty Funk.
Salty Front.
Get the band funk back from together,
Utah. It's kind of, I don't know. It's
I'm trying to get by the salty funk.
It's something.
I actually don't mind it.
Some weird kind of stew is like one of
I'm gonna take it's got sort of a
maltiness to it, and like a
malty, like a salty roastiness.
Funk? Yeah, a malty salty funk.
Yeah, that's
I wouldn't call it a funk. I actually kind of like it. It's it does like a stew is a good word.
Kind of meaty. Lager. You know,
yeah, it's like
meaty.
Beef stewish. It is. It's kind of like beef stew, minus the beef.
Doesn't taste like beef stew.
That no, it doesn't. It's
very malty.
Definitely got that lager yeast. Very malty. Man, I don't know if this sounds right, but I'm saying like salty raisins and molasses.
Hmm, that's good.
Yeah, I can see that.
I really wish there was some chocolate in this beer.
Ooh, yeah. Chocolate would be good.
That's,
maybe you could pair it with some chocolate.
The traditional Bock, it's not my favorite style, but I do enjoy the chocolate Bocks because I really feel the style lends itself well to the chocolate. I think like a cocoa flavor mixed with these
coffee
scents.
I'm feeling different about this than you guys are then, because I like the toffee kind of flavor, which is, you know, that sort of salted maltiness that toffee would have, and maybe some roasted nuts. Like, I actually kind of like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
you are entitled to your opinion, sir.
It's kind of growing on me, too. I mean, I'm also not a big fan of the Bock style, but this is kind of growing on me after a few sips.
Not bad.
It does have a good sugary kind of caramel malt.
Yeah, caramel's popping out at me now.
It's got a richness to it that's
yeah. And it's not overly thick. I mean, it is a little thick and kind of oily on the tongue, but it's not too bad.
It's not too bad. I was good. You said oily because it's almost like silky.
Yeah,
it's got the carbonation, so it's not a silky smooth kind of. But there's definitely a slickness to it.
Are you guys getting in the alcohol too? Are you feeling it? Because it's starting to. I'm feeling the warmth. I don't know if it's just because we've hit this second beer so quickly.
No, there's definitely a little bit of alcohol warming going on.
Yeah, I get the alcohol. I'm just getting lots of toasted, and here it is again. But that roasted roastiness is definitely there.
Yeah,
this is close to a brown.
It's man. I swore it was darker the first time. The first time I've tried this, and now it really does seem like a brown with very amber.
Yeah, it's more red,
which I think is kind of a desired color with the box, is to have some amber highlights or an amber hue.
Yeah.
Good, decent lacing. I mean, it's it's not too great, but the head retention is excellent. I mean, it's keeping a great little head on it.
Yeah, kind of that film on the top is nice. Yeah. Yeah, mine's very similar.
Yeah, we see it, Toby.
Yeah.
See it?
The listeners don't, but we have a very very thin head on there. It's not quite like a sheer film, but it's actually a very thin head goes all across the glass.
I actually really enjoy this. I think it's interesting that I'm barbecuing a brisket right now, because if I was going to pair this with something, that's what I'd pair this with.
Yeah.
Like a good barbecue, roasted something. I think barbecue would go really good with
some ribs. I say some barbecue ribs.
Yeah.
That's me. Pork, some barbecued pork. Not real sweet barbecue, not a real spicy barbecue, but like a pretty mild, you know, pork barbecue,
like smoked, long smoked, really mild barbecue.
Yeah, I was thinking like some ribs with like a, you know, like the barbecue sauce with the molasses in it, you know, like a really kind of thick, rich
barbecue sauce without being too sweet. I think would go good.
Yeah, I'm honestly, I like this a lot. I like this better than the cranberry wit for sure.
Good.
Excellent.
That's it for
me. You guys
want
to try some IPA?
Yeah, let's let me finish this one and then we'll jump into the IPA. I'm glad we did.
Let's just go grab another
six
pack on the break and we'll try some more.
Oh, did we give a price point on this? I found this for $8.99 for the six pack.
I didn't know that was part of our homework. Sorry.
Oh, I just—I
think I paid like $10 for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think mine was like $9.99, $8.99 or $9.99.
I think it was like nine something.
Which I think is actually pretty good for what you're getting for this rare once a year kind of thing to only be $9 or $10. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because you'd expect it to be more like 11 or 12, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. It's nice to have a mixed pack where you actually, you know, have good quality beers in the whole mixed pack, you know.
But it would be kind of cool if they made these separate six packs. And who knows, maybe down the road they'll say, hey, yeah, this one was very successful, so we'll stick the
well, we'll see. I mean, I've heard, I haven't tried the IPA yet, the double IPA, but I've heard really good things about it. So,
well, I've tried it, but I won't tell yet.
Why don't we go into the next segment and then we can talk about it? Okay.
Okay.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Okay, Dokey. I would like to introduce to everybody listening to the Beer Coasters podcast the Sam Adams Long Shot Double IPA.
Time for some
or
Deepa.
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 We drink some Deepa.
That is right. Your beer has been outsourced.
Sweet.
Now, real quick about the Long Shot Double IPA. Let me pull up my...
Dude.
Okay. It's Boston Beer Company.
Yeah.
Out of Boston,
right.
Massachusetts.
Sam Adams, Boston
We've been
Beer
talking
Company.
About this whole
yes.
show.
Same brewery.
I don't know if anybody mentioned the
same
website.
Same six-pack, actually. It's the same box. We didn't even dip into another box.
This style is an American double slash imperial IPA. The ABV is 9.6. I couldn't find any information on the IBUs.
What?
You should keep this at 45 to 50 degrees. Serve it at 50 to 55 degrees. You can find it in the handy little cool looking box six pack, variety pack. And there were actually a couple of people on Beer Advocate that said they found it on tap.
Wow.
I don't know where.
That'd be sweet.
But it was just 2 out of 300 people, roughly.
And they work
be
for
sweet
Sam
to
Adams.
Find this. Yeah.
They might. Yeah. They're like, hey, I'm here at the brewery.
It's
and
in the
I've,
back room.
We're in the back room and we've got it on tap.
It's in the break room. Instead of the water fountain, it's
dude.
Just a, the long shot winner.
That'd be sweet.
I need to get a job at a brewery.
Yes.
That's our, that's a, that's our next goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So consider this an application. Yes. Brewers out there. My resume, I have Beer Coasters podcast.
I am okay. One of the three founding members of the Beer Coasters podcast. I have extensive knowledge.
You're hired, son. Okay.
God, we're geeks.
You can tell we're too deep.
Yes, we are deep in the podcast. Speaking of deep,
I mean,
how about some
Deepa?
Deepa.
Nice.
Drink some Deepa.
Nice segue. So the ingredients that I found, which are printed on the bottle, 7 different varieties of American hops. Don't know which ones they
Lots.
Are. And they totaled over 6 pounds per barrel.
From what Sweet. I found, it's
so
like
it should be pretty
Warrior,
hoppy, folks.
Chinook, Cascade. You know, basically a handful of American hops. Like it's basically like the best of American hops are in this beer.
Oh, are we cracking them open? Sweet.
I cracked mine.
I see that.
I can't
Don't give
wait.
Us any warning. Just pop in there.
All right.
Now this one was created by Mike McDowell out of California.
West Coast.
So maybe him being a Californian, he's a hophead, and he's that's why we've got so much hops in there.
Oh and God, it smells
good. One thing
good.
I did notice about the bottle is they do have a notch. I don't know if this is a Sam Adams thing.
Yes, it
Correct
is.
Me if
it's
I'm
a
wrong,
Boston
guys.
Beer
I know
Company
there's other
thing. Freshness.
They tell you when you should purchase it. You know, make sure you purchase it before this date that's notched on the bottle. And mine says September 2009.
Sam Adams has a philosophy within the company. Not philosophy, but it's actually kind of a. I don't even know what you want to call it, but within the company, if they find a beer that's beyond the freshness date, they actually buy it back from the liquor store or wherever it's been purchased from.
Now, the Beer Advocate users gave it a B+. The Alstrom brothers have not weighed in on this one, and Rate Beer has given it a 95 out of 100.
Sweet.
And the glass that I'm using is a tulip glass. You can also use a snifter or an oversized wine glass. Typically, with IPAs, you go with a pint glass normally, but this one,
like an imperial or a double IPA, you'd want to use something a little more.
Okay. Hop City on the nose. Yes. I'm telling you, I feel like I just took a bus into Hoptown, USA, and. That's the first
Which
sensation.
Is an awesome place to visit.
Yes.
I agree. I recommend everybody visiting Hoptown USA. Buy your tickets now.
So on the color, it's kind of a deep gold orange color.
Yeah, it's got orangish. Big
Along with
head.
The hoppiness on the nose, are you guys getting any kind of weird funk?
No.
I'm getting a little bit of funk, but the funk I'm getting, I think, is more from the earthy hops as opposed to the floral or fruity.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you guys, if this totally grosses everybody out. Oh. I am getting the earthiness, but you know what I'm also getting a hint of? Oh, God. What? Dirty diapers. It's weird.
And on that note,
let's
take a sip.
But then there's also some sweetness in it. It's weird. It just has this kind of, I don't know if it's the Band-Aid, you know how sometimes you can get that kind of Band-Aid. But there's also some spiciness too. Maybe, I don't know, this might be a bad bottle just on the nose for me. Mm. Because I'm also getting some kind of stinky vegetable. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a stinky vegetable.
It's possible. if it's got any kind of like a bad vegetable or a rotten vegetable kind of smell, it could be spoiled.
Oh, man. I'm on the taste. It's
sweet hoppy goodness.
Oh, yeah. If you like hops, you will like this beer.
Toby's disappointed. I think he might have got a bad batch.
I think so. I might have to just step out of this review because
it happens. I mean, we're about
well,
to get
you what,
like
I'll
a
tell
skunked
you
beer or a spoiled beer. I mean, we've done enough podcasts now that we're bound to get one bad.
It's pretty sour. I'm getting a lot of very sour. There's some hops in there, but there's no typical floral or citrus hops. This is just kind of sour.
I don't know if that's know if that's skunked actually, because I'm getting most of that too. I'm not disappointed by that stuff, but
I'm getting a basically like we were talking about before that handful all different types of American hops. Like I said, everything like basically all the best American hops kind of put in one beer, which I would say in most cases would really kind of confuse the nose and the taste buds and everything else, but I don't know. I for me, there's also a lot of sugariness in this beer, so it sweetens it up to really balance out the bitterness, not just straight bitter, IPA.
You know, honestly, I think it's a little too sweet.
I hesitate to say that, but yeah, there may be a little too much of that candied sugar in there to balance the bitterness. But I think probably because there was such an overwhelming amount of hops in this beer, maybe there's a little miscalculation going on. I don't know. I'm not a brewer, and I don't claim to be
one. This is a good... It's a good sampling beer. Like, I was looking around at reviews and stuff on Rate Beer, and somebody talks about how their words were dangerously drinkable. And I don't find this beer... It's good, and I can drink it, but I do not find it dangerously drinkable. I couldn't drink a lot of these.
Well, very high alcohol. Yeah, I mean, 9.6 is pretty high. And like I said, you got the hop. If you're a big fan of hops, and it's got that sweetness to balance out the alcohol, it could definitely be a little troublesome. You know, 9.6, and I don't know. To me, this is kind of trouble for me because I could have quite a few of these.
Yeah.
Well, now. Real quick on the ABV, yeah, Beer Advocate gives it a 9.6, but actually the bottle says 9.0.
Okay.
Which I just noticed, so I could have... I'm going with the bottle then. I'm changing that to 9.0.
Yeah,
9.0.
I do like this.
9.0, buddy.
0.0007.
No, 0.008. A little bit more alcohol-y than that.
Oh, that's right. I'm in Texas.
Yes, you are, sir.
So they don't list the
malt beverage.
Well, they don't list the ABV on the bottle.
Are you serious?
That's interesting. But yet it has.
Damn, they have to have a whole different labeling for it. That's crazy.
Oh wait, no, I take that back. I'm wrong. There it is. I just missed it.
It's written on the right.
Oh.
Yeah, I see it.
Upward. Yeah.
My bad.
Chris.
Sorry.
This has been a great show, guys. Great show.
This beer is, you know, I'm a big hop head and I like, but I don't know. This may be a little too much even for me. I know.
It's to me it's not very balanced. Uh-oh. It's got the hops. But, I mean, I'm obviously drinking something different from what you guys are drinking.
I don't know that you are, though, because, it's... Like Toby said, it's not balanced at all. There's no maltiness in this at all. You might as well be chewing on some hops. Mm. You know, just grab a variety of hops and throw them in your mouth, and that's what you get. You know, because there's...
I mean, I've had some great double IPAs that were super hoppy, but yet they had that... They managed to sneak in enough malts and sweetness to balance it out.
Yeah,
to where you don't feel like you're chewing on.
Don't get me wrong. There is sweetness in this, but it's a hop sweetness. It's not a malt sweetness. So it's
It's not that whole thick sweetness, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know if I can finish this one, guys.
Oh, I can finish it. Oh, yeah. But
I have no problem finishing it.
Yeah, somebody on Beer Advocate compared it to Pliny.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because that maybe. Is what the base of the recipe was taken from the recipe from Pliny the Elder, which is when I first had this beer is what it reminded me of.
What's Pliny the Elder? Who brews that and where are they from?
Is that Russian River?
I think it is. Russian River. I think you're right. Which is Northern California or is that Oregon?
I want to say Northern California or Colorado, which is really bad that we don't know this, but that's what happens when we don't do our homework.
Well, we can't instantly know everything.
What? Well, I know that you're, this Mike, you're a big internet. Fan of the Pliny
Of course series. We can instantly know everything. Ready? Watch this. Pause. The See? Magic of we editing. Know everything now. Ask me a question.
Hey, wait a minute. That sounds like the beer jargon guy.
No. I don't sound anything like the beer jargon guy.
Not at all.
He's like some stuffy English dude.
So as far as food pairings, what do you think? What are you guys thinking?
Anything that you don't want to taste?
Oh, come on now.
Dude, this is, it's so overpowering. I mean, you'd have to go with something really spicy, really pronounced flavor in order to pair properly with this.
I'm going to go with a dozen hot wings. Hot.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. With, there you know. Go.
Possibly nuclear.
Hot and sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet and spicy.
In order to properly pair this with anything, you would really need some very pronounced flavors that could cut through this, because it would be really hard to cut through.
How about some spicy hot wings with a blue cheese dip?
Mm. Yeah, I'm hungry.
Wow.
You know what, guys? I'm not looking for your approval. I'm just... Whatever. Well, that's my take on the Sam Adams Long Shot Double IPA brewed by our friend Mike McDowell out of California. It's the treat of the week. Treat of the week. It's the treat of the week. Treat. Treat of the week. Yeah.
Indus Jeff says, do beer goggles work on yourself? Cause looking in the mirror right now, I'm a sexy bitch.
It's the treat of the week. Treat of the week. It's the treat of the week. Treat, treat. Treat of the week, yeah.
Time for some backwash. Let's check the beer coasters. Hotline. Yeah.
Alrighty, folks.
Folks.
This is the backwash segment of the podcast where we listen to listeners' comments and put them here on the show. And we've got a couple from Gina for one.
Some people.
And our good friend Charlie. And so, hey, Chris, Mike, take it away.
All right. So we have an email here from Gina that's kind of long, so we've decided to kind of break it up a bit. She listened to a bunch of episodes in a row and had brief comments on each episode. So we're going
to
switch back and forth.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's very awesome. So we're going to switch back and forth. I'm going to talk about the first one. So back in week 5, we covered the Irish Reds. And during the conversation, we had some interesting things to talk about with as far as adjuncts. And Gina had some questions as to, maybe not questions, but comments about adjuncts and what exactly that means. And so actually, if it's okay with you guys, I'm going to throw the beer jargon guy real quick and let's see what he has to say about adjuncts.
And now time for craft beer jargon. For this week's beer jargon, the term is adjuncts. Adjuncts are unmalted grains such as corn, rice, rye, oats, barley, and wheat, used in brewing beer which supplement the main mash ingredient such as malted barley, often with the intention of cutting cost but sometimes to create an additional feature such as better foam retention. There are many different types of adjuncts, such as the aforementioned starch adjuncts, but they are sugar adjuncts, as well as flavoring adjuncts. For more information about adjuncts, Beer Coasters will be discussing this next week on their Hop Topics section. Thank you.
Sweet. So, for anybody that wasn't sure about what
thank you, beer jargon guy.
About what adjuncts were. That's what adjuncts were. She also had some interesting questions as far as what cellaring and serving temperatures and what, you know, when we talk about those, why we talk about those and what those should be. So I think we'll save that for another episode to talk about the cellaring and serving temperatures and how those pan out. Mike, you want to talk about what she had to say about week six?
Yeah, week six is basically all about Crazy Dave. and the whole wine discussion thing. I don't want to touch too much on it just because she makes a good point. It's like there's no need for apologies. Just stick to beer talk. And we should. I agree. It caused a little heated debate, you know, but I think we need a little bit of that to kind of keep things interesting and kind of keep people on their toes. She also mentioned the Lost Coast artist, which we did find. Luckily, we did find. And I said to Toby,
yeah.
The Lost Coast artist was Dwayne Flatmo, I think his name is.
Yeah.
And you can find it on lostcoast.com, but I actually submitted just a question through Twitter, and someone responded to me quite quickly, so that was kind of cool. And she says the beer jargon guy sticking him in the middle was kind of fun, so she seemed to appreciate that.
Yeah. I like the beer jargon guy.
Yeah, he's cool. Then in week seven, she had a few things to say about. She was a little disappointed that we had rated the lager as high as we did, but then realized that we were trying to rate to style, which I think is something, especially on the beer review site, a lot of people lose sight of that. You know, brewer's intention needs to account for something. So if a brewer is going to create a lager, you have to give some credit to the fact that that's the style they're going for. So right. Your rating needs to compensate for the fact you may not like lagers.
Right.
You know?
But if it tastes like one, you got to give it some credit for tasting like one.
Yeah, because that's kind of the point of the beer. If you don't like it, then sorry.
Right.
Which kind of leads into the next thing as far as the style of beer.
Yeah. And she also had to say about the On the Road segment where Mike went to ACBF that she really, really liked that a lot. And hopefully we get to do that in the future, which I'm sure we do.
Especially the music for it.
I did want to keep – I want all the listeners to keep in mind that that was kind of our – as I mentioned, it was our first – and it's also what was the first using that equipment, that hardware, and kind of it was very experimental. So we hope to have everything a little – tighter and more informative in the future.
That being said, I still think it worked really awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I had a blast, you know, but it would have been nice, like she said, to you know, talk
sounded
to someone.
Like it.
Hey, that's especially toward the end of it.
Buzz Massachusetts.
Like the song says, we're going to drink some beer. We're going to talk about it. Yeah. So...
So what she had to say about last week's episode?
We look forward to doing more of on the road segments as well. On week eight, the Saisons, she does the she mentions the cork versus cap. She mentions that from what I've read, most people choose it for presentation, but I would still argue that particularly in some styles, they may be used to ensure the pressure from the carbonation doesn't get too...
Because they're bottle fermented and
exactly,
stuff like that.
Exactly. Which, she's right. That's all I'm going to say. She's right. The beer jargon guy, she mentions the beer jargon guy with the IBUs that, she guessed that they use a scientific method, but it was a little confusing. I agree it was a little confusing because I did one specific definition with a specific piece of, scientific hardware that not obviously every craft brewer is going to have. They normally do an alternative method is with a formula, which she goes on to mention, which I probably should have mentioned that was an option as well. Which they talk about the type of hops, the amount of hops, and within the volume and of the wort and everything, which I should have said. And so she was correct on that as well. And she needs to be our fourth beer coaster for sure, because she kind of fills in all the nooks and crannies of our mistakes here.
But overall, she seems to have really liked it, and She had some issues with the levels, which I'll accept responsibility for because I'm the one that edits every week. So I'm trying to,
I'm trying to get the
levels and stuff right. I realize that I project a little bit more than most, so I tend to be a little bit louder. So I will try to work on getting the levels correct every week. So
you're just a big mouth.
This is true. So I think we had some more backwash though from Charlie. Toby, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, Charlie posted a comment on the website for the last episode, and he said, "Excellent podcast. I had a chance to try two new offerings from San Diego over the past week. Alesmith released their Summer Yulesmith, which is a very balanced, refined Imperial IPA, which I have to say I've had, and I think it's delish."
We talked about this before. Both me and Mike had that on the cask at the brewery, and that is, to this date, the best glass of beer I've ever had.
Yeah. If anybody out there listening, if you ever see Yulesmith on the shelf, definitely pick that up. It's one to try.
It's a great beer. Alesmith is just a phenomenal brewery. They're little.
Where are they from?
But they're
San
great,
Diego.
Great brewery. Yes. San Diego, California. Can't get through an episode without it.
Yulesmith is offering twice a year and is always different, usually an IPA in the summer and a red ale in the winter. Imperial IPAs are known for their strong character, but this one has a very refined, complex taste, not too harsh, an excellent example of craft brewing at its finest. Toby was able to try it as well, so he might have more to say, which I just did. Also, Stone Brewing released their 13th anniversary ale on Monday, which was the 29th? I think 28th or 29th of June, which is a double hopped red. I was able to try it this weekend, and it was very strong red, 9% alcohol, quite hoppy, bitter finish. Stone is a master at this style, and it is enjoyable seeing it applied to a red ale. And if anybody listened to the podcast before, they heard the comment that Charlie made about he was excited that we did Irish reds because he thinks they get overlooked sometimes, especially in San Diego. Because everybody's about hops.
I believe
let's make an IPA. Let's make a double IPA.
The quotable soundbite was the redheaded stepchild of the San Diego brewing industry, which is nice.
He also said it's a sharper, more bitter flavor and drier aftertaste than the usual IPAs. He's been waiting for this beer to come out, and he was not disappointed. These two beers are not available everywhere, but if you're in San Diego, he would highly recommend picking them up while they're still for sale. So that was from Charlie.
Cool. I did want to say that Gina really enjoyed the brown ale episode, and I did too. It's probably one of my favorite episodes so far. I think that everybody was kind of relaxed and kind of everybody had their just a good flow, and everybody was just really comfortable, and I enjoyed that one too. Well, thank you.
Yeah, me too. And that's it for that. Why don't we swing into our last call? Last call, guys. Ready?
All right, everybody. Last call.
Okay. So we're winding down this fabulous episode number 9 of the Beer Coasters podcast. And this is the last call, so we're gonna wrap everything up. First off, we'd like to start with our pint ratings for the three different beers we had today from Sam Adams. And I'd like to throw this to Chris. Give me your pint ratings, buddy boy.
Alrighty. So the first beer we tried today was the Cranberry Wit from the Long Shot series, and for that one, it was a pretty well balanced, subtle beer with some complexities in it that I thought played pretty well. I'm going to give it 3 pints out of 5. I thought it worked well, especially for a fruit beer. It wasn't overly sweet, which I don't really like. So I think within the style of a fruit wheat beer, I think it went well. So 3 pints out of 5 for that one. The second one that we had was the Traditional Bock, which I actually liked quite a bit. As far as a bock goes, it's a pretty good example of the style, and that one I'm going to give 4 pints to. The last one that we tried was the Deepa, the double IPA. And I don't know if it was just the mood that I'm in, but I'm not overly happy with it. I'm going to give it 3 pints based on future samplings. I know that seems kind of backhanded, but I think if I was just to base it on how I feel about it right now, I'd probably give it a little bit lower than that, actually. But because, you know, we had the two other styles first, and so my palate was a little not as well as it could have been, I'm going to go ahead and go with 3 pints, and who knows, I may come back next week and revise it to even higher than that. Because I do like IPAs, and it is, you know, an interesting IPA. Toby's wife, Gina, had a good way of describing what the sort of downfall is, and it's that it's a very muddled style. Using that many hops, you can't define or pick out the individual hops in it, and that's one of the things that I really like about complex styles. When they're done very well, they tend to be very balanced, and you can really see the different, you know, ingredients playing off each other, and you can identify different ingredients and see how they work together, whereas this one was a little more difficult to do that with. So that's where I sit with my pint ratings for this week.
What about you, Mike?
Let's see. On the long shot cranberry wit, I enjoyed it. The only issue I have with the pint ratings is the fact that it's a wit, and for me, it feels more like a winter warmer. Like I said, it's really got that spicy. I think it's really better in the fall months. But I'm going to give it a 3. I think it's a good solid 3. Yeah, you know what? I might even jump it up to a 3.5 because I really did enjoy the flavors and the aromas.
There you go.
So 3.5.
There you go.
The traditional Bock, I'm not a fan of the Bock in general, the style. But based on the style, I think it's pretty a solid Bock. If I were to try other Bocks, I'm sure this would measure up pretty well. So I'm going to give that a 3. And for the double IPA, I'm going to give it a 4. I really like this. I think there was a lot of hops. There was some... I'll tell you why I'm going to give it a 4. And not because, you know, I understand that maybe some of the stuff was a little muddled, not being able to pick out every single hop in it, but I think that it had a good amount of sweetness to kind of battle the bitterness. And I'm keeping in mind that this was a home brewer. This was a home brewer's recipe that brewed this beer. True. And for me, to taste anything that a home brewer would have done that's even close to this is, for me, unheard of. So I'm going to give it a 4. Thank you.
Sweet.
As far as mine goes, for the cranberry wit, I actually liked it. And I mean, I didn't love it, but I think the whole, when I got into the whole food pairing thing, I thought it bumped it up a little bit. I'm going to actually give it 3.5 out of 5 because I think that it would really go good with turkey dinner for Thanksgiving dinner. I don't know why, and I just think that right there makes it a 3.5. If not, I don't know, maybe a 3, but I'm going to go with a 3.5. For the traditional Bock, I'm kind of along the lines with Mike. I'm not a huge Bock fan, and I don't really know what it is. Maybe I just need to try a few. I mean, I've had some double Bocks before that were just way too much for me, but I'm going to go with a 3 on the traditional Bock from Sam Adams, 3 out of 5. I thought it was good. If you're a brown fan, a brown ale drinker fan, this is kind of a little bit more alcohol, in my opinion. So if you like browns, you might like a Bock. And then with the long shot double IPA, I'm going to go, I don't know if I just got a bad batch or what, but I'm going with a 2 out of 5 because, and I don't know, maybe I might even go lower than that. I mean, I did finish it, so it wasn't completely horrible to where I wouldn't want to finish it. So I did finish it. I mean, I do like hops. I would consider myself a hophead. I do like double IPAs. But this one, it's the whole thing of going back to being muddled. too many hops, for too many varieties of hops for its own good, and the balance was kind of off. And yes, Mike brought up the whole thing about being a home brewer, and for a home brewer, I think this is pretty freaking good. If for Sam Adams, for a large brewing company, and for national distribution for a double IPA in that category, that's why I'm going with so low. I mean, it was pretty kind of stinky aromas at first. I don't know. It just didn't really work for me. So that was it for my three. Also, if you guys want to give some individual shout-outs, we can do Sam Adams. It was Sam Adams Brewery, samueladams.com, yeah, for their brewery.
You can get to it.
You can check out the whole thing with the long shot. And you know, if you're submitting any kind of your own brews now, it's too late. They ended that a couple months ago.
But I believe they'll still probably have it next year too. And if you just go to, I think it's samadams.com/promotions/longshot, I think is what it is. You can get there, and actually that's actually a pretty cool place. Even just for research purposes, they have some really cool The Art of Homebrewing videos that kind of walk you through steps. And they have links to where you can buy supplies and stuff. It's really geared towards the home brewer. I really like that website a lot. It's actually pretty cool. And it's really cool that a larger brewery, granted they're still considered, actually I shouldn't say that, I don't know if they're still considered a craft brewer because of the certain
they're craft brewer,
criteria.
They're just not,
but they are a craft brewer. Yeah, and you know, Sam Adams is obviously the biggest craft brewer out there. And it's cool that they still pay attention to the home brewers and they still have a passion for what makes this craft beer movement successful, and that's the people involved.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it's too much of a marketing thing. It's actually, I think that they're actually trying to get more people involved and spread the word about home brewing and stuff. I think it's pretty
They're trying to stay true to the quality of the product too, which I think is one of the most important things. I did want to mention, you know, that the beer jargon guy, he did kind of a very quick, simple description of the adjuncts that we'll discuss this next week. We feel that it's a valid enough topic to discuss in our hop topic next week. So we'll get into a little bit of a discussion about adjuncts and styles of adjuncts, and it's a little more complicated than just one simple definition. So we'll tackle that next week.
Sweet.
Also check out losangeles.com, or I'm sorry, losangeles.cff.org/brouhaha for the brouhaha, the second annual beer festival that's happening at Griffith Park in Los Angeles on July 23rd this year. And you can also follow us on Twitter. We are Beer Coasters Pod on Twitter, so check out what we're thinking and
what we're
drinking,
tweeting.
And we're also on Facebook. Just search for Beer Coasters Podcast on Facebook and become friends with us. It's all fun and cool technology and stuff. And then check out our individual emails. You can individually email us. And I am Toby@BeerCoastersPodcast.com.
I'm Chris@BeerCoastersPodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @BCoasterChris.
I am Mike@BeerCoastersPodcast.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter @BeerCoasterMike on Twitter.
Hey, why don't you follow me too on Beer Coaster Toby?
Sweet. You can also email Backwash to us. Please. @Backwash@BeerCoastersPodcast.com, or you can leave
Backwash
audio Backwash at 316-221-6846. Really want to hear from you guys. And you can also post comments directly on the website for each episode.
Yeah. You can also check out our website where you can make comments on. That's BeerCoastersPodcast.com. All the episodes are on there. You could listen directly on the website. Or you can go to iTunes and search for Beer Coasters. We're there too. You can check the website on Monday or sometimes earlier. Not always, but sometimes earlier. For next time on Beer Coasters, it'll give you an idea of what we're going to try next week. And you can buy it and sit down and have a beer with us.
And tell your friends. And tell your friends' friends. And tell those people. And then you can Twitter stuff about Beer Coasters Podcast. And you can get your friends to sign up on Facebook and stuff.
We're not trying to confuse you.
We want to thank you.
We're just giving you every opportunity possible to come in contact with us.
Blow up your mind with technology. And we want to thank everybody for listening. That's a huge one. Thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and listen to us ramble on about the things that we love, which is craft beer.
Beer.
Sweet. Support your local brewery. Drink local. Don't drink and drive.
Especially lawnmowers.
Oh, hey, and if you have any comments or suggestions about, hey, your favorite bar or your favorite beer that we haven't talked about, send us an email. You know, send us some backwash. We want to know about this stuff. You know, who your favorite brewery is, and you know that way it can get across to the rest of the country and the rest of the world. You know, hey, check this out. We're from, you know, Podunk, wherever, and we've got this cool brewery, and they've got this great.
Or if you're in Pilsner. The middle of Russia and you have a good brewery out in the middle of Russia and you want to let us know what it is, give us a call or send us an email. We'd love to hear from you.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, guys. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.